I'm Laura Murphy Oates, and this is The Full Story. 2 years ago, on this day, I was in Naam, also known as Melbourne. I was there filming a documentary. Before dawn, I walked up a hill in a public park overlooking the city, and I joined hundreds of people gathered in the dark, sitting in a circle. In the centre, a Jajangwarang man smeared with ochre heaped gum leaves on a mound of sandy earth and set them alight. As the smoke began to rise, he sings.
Oi! Gee! Ah! Ah! Gee!
This was a dawn service, the first of its kind.
Tempana!
It's not for Australian soldiers killed overseas. It's for the thousands of Indigenous people killed during the colonisation of Australia.
So today, this morning, is a way that we can truly reflect on our warriors of the frontier wars, the first war.
That morning, members of the community got up and read out a list of massacres that occurred across Victoria.
On July 1836, at Werribee River, 10 was shot by Henry Batman and others.
Geelong area in 1837, 4 shot. In 1837, Western Victoria, 3 killed.
1840, December 22nd, Boney Point, Gippsland, Angus McMillan and his men took a heavy toll of Aboriginal lives.
1841, December, Port Fairy.
1841, near Lake Lonsdale, Grenad River.
1843, June, Warrigal Creek.
20 or more shot by M. Taylor, station's overseer.
20 shot by station owners, cooks and shepherds.
51 killed.
Between 20 and 40 shot by white brothers.
Between 60 and 180 shot by Angus McMillan and his men.
Umaralla River, 200 or more Gunditjmara people shot or poisoned in 1842 to 44. 1846, December, Snowy River, 50 plus shot by armed party hunting for white woman supposedly held by Aborigines, never found. Where we're standing right now, on Kulin land, is also the burial site of 38 warriors over here at that rock. So they are the recorded massacres the white people have researched. That's what we've got. But we know in our hearts that there are many, many, many more of our people that were massacred, murdered in an act of genocide. But they didn't kill us all.
January 26th, the anniversary of the arrival of the First Fleet in Port Jackson and the establishment of a British colony, is marked by many as the official National Day of Australia. It's also a day that is protested as Invasion Day by many Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people and an increasing number of non-Indigenous Australians. It's all part of a changing national conversation about this day.
So I was thinking a lot about the Dawn Service recently. And it was just that contrast between remembering and forgetting. Like, you know, with Dawn Services, it's about remembering. I mean, that's what mob were trying to do in Melbourne, which they were actively doing, remembering.
Darrumbull and South Sea Islander journalist Amy McQuire has been thinking a lot about the meaning of this day. She's written a children's book about January 26th called Daybreak.
Whereas Australia Day as a whole is literally about forgetting. It's about erasing history and supplanting this white supremacist narrative on top of that.
Today, Amy McQuire on Truth Telling and Invasion Day. It's Tuesday, the 26th of January.
My name is Amy McQuire. I'm a Darumbal and South Sea Islander woman from Rockhampton in central Queensland, and journalist mostly in Aboriginal and independent media over the past 14 years, and just, do a lot of freelance work, and currently a PhD student at the University of Queensland.
Growing up, what did your family do on Jan 26?
I can't remember ever doing anything, and I think it's very... I think that's a very common experience for many Aboriginal kids growing up. I was born in Sydney but grew up in Rockhampton, which is where all my family's from, and we're Darumbal. So Darumbal Nation takes in Rockhampton, Shellwater Bay, up towards Mount Morgan, and that sort of area, and borders nations like Gurangurang. I can't pinpoint the very point where it actually became this really nationalistic, jingoistic display of Australia's, you know, this complete amnesia over Australia's history. So I can't ever recall ever growing up celebrating it or even acknowledging it.
I'm really interested in, I suppose, this uptick of people using the day as a memorial, as a way to remember this frontier violence that happened in the past. I'm wondering if you know much about what happened on your land in terms of frontier violence up in Queensland there.
Yeah, so I'm from central Queensland, so Darumbal country. What was happening was, like, people think it was just, well, people don't. We talk about it as if it was just one invasion, but there were waves of invasion that happened at different times. So we didn't actually have white settlers into Rockhampton until about 1853, which is a long time after what obviously they celebrate on Australia Day. So by the time that they got up to Rockhampton in central Queensland, they're fine-tuning what they're doing in the colonies. And so largely it was just a large killing field. And there were widespread massacres helped along by, Native Police, Queensland Native Police, all across Darumbal country, Gurangurang, Birragubba, all across,
And the Native Police, for people who don't understand, they were bringing in Indigenous people from the community and getting them to, co-opting them into this awful violence, right?
Yeah, a lot of them would come from different parts of the country, and there were reasons why they were probably joining as well. But it was, it really devastated our communities. Like, we have a lot of stories. One of the stories in Rockhampton is a mountain which we renamed Gawoola. And so there's that story of Frederick Wheeler, who was a really notorious leader of the Native Police. Actually, they drove a mob of Darumbal people up that cliff and drove them off. And so when you go to that place now, it's very, like, you can feel that energy there and what happened there.
What is that like? Can you describe what it's like for you being there on that site?
I always just feel, I don't know, it's just this feeling of sad, but wanting to feel very quiet and this stillness, I think, for me. And one time we went up there and, just come back down, and we were just sitting there, and I hear these, like, motorbikes roaring through the bush. And so it was just very, like, just rupturing that stillness. And they drove right up to the bottom of the cliff as well. So it just felt, I don't know, it just, to me, it's just like, how do you not know what happened there?
Mm.
And I remember, like, a couple of years ago, like, my dad and my brothers went up there, and, like, there was graffiti on the rocks. And you sort of think, that's just so horrible. How could you graffiti what is really a sacred site? And a site of really horrific atrocities. But people in Rockhampton don't know that history, and there's still that that resistance to actually acknowledging history. Like, we've renamed mountains. There was recently a racist street name renamed due to the advocacy of Darumbal people. But there was still that resistance in the community to acknowledging black history in this land. So I think it does come down to that local truth-telling as well. The other issue is that Australians separate themselves from history, and the reason they separate is obviously because they're complicit in it. But Blackfellas' history is, like, very present. It's almost like it's just there with you every day. And that's, like, you talk to any mob, they will tell you all of the history of their family connections, when they were moved off here, when they were moved back there, if they know their history. So it's very present, whereas Australia seems to have this thing where they want to divorce themselves from the past completely. There's so many places that we don't know what happened on that land, but I think you can feel them because, I don't know, I just think the stories are always there, and I always think that our ancestors are always there, which sounds to non-Indigenous people like I'm just making it up, but it actually is because I've had those experiences on Darumbal country. Like, they're actually real to me, and so I know they're real to a lot of other mob as well. So I know it's not just some, I don't know how to explain it, but that history is still living on this land, and I don't think white Australians actually grapple with that or understand that.
Next, how Amy is trying to make sure that the next generation, including her kids, understands this history. So you've just released a children's book called Daybreak, and it's all about January 26. Can you tell me a bit about it?
Yeah, definitely. So I was actually approached by Hardy Grant Children's Publishing to look into sort of looking at book around Australia Day, but and how I would approach that. And I sort of started by thinking about the dawn service, which is what you were talking about, which is like, yeah, because I just thought that was a really interesting way to look at it. But then it became sort of bigger about a family's own journey. I sort of wrote it about the resistances that Aboriginal families and children take on that day and why they're... And so it really became about the strengths of the Black family, acknowledging the survival and the continuity of that family and the fact that we will always be on this country and this country always belongs to us.
So you've got kids yourself. Can you tell me about them?
Yeah, so I've got Alara, who's 4, nearly 5, and Leland, who's 1, nearly 2. So proud Darumbal kids.
What do you say to them when this day comes up every year? How do you explain the significance of January 26?
Often I haven't really known what to say. You know, how do you explain what's actually happening here? So I found... You know, when I was reading them the book, those questions actually came out. Can you read the book to Laura?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which one do you want to start from?
From the end. Dad took me out early. It was too early, and then I can eat a bird waking up at night. I'm like a bird.
So the story of Daybreak is basically a journey that an Aboriginal family takes on January 26, told from the perspective of a young First Nations girl, and she's figuring out what this day means for her and her people. My teacher says January 26 is when we celebrate the settlement of Australia. She says white men discovered our country. But Dad says we were already here for tens of thousands of years. She loves that bit. So she's actually travelling with her father and her nan back to her traditional country because that's how they're planning to mark the day, and they're enacting their own forms of sovereignty on their land. So they talk about all the things that they want to remember on this day, and they're the things that Australia has traditionally wanted us to forget. Remember those who died when the white people came. We remember how we lost our land.
We remember how we lost our land.
We remember how Nan was stolen from her family.
I liked it bit.
What do you like about that one?
Yeah, I like my ancestors.
She likes her ancestors. The ancestors are always here on this country. They were here before there was an Australia, and one day Nan says she will join them. And as long as you are here on this country, you will remember it is our land. Always was, always will be.
Why write a kid's book rather than, you know, a book for teens or even for adults? What was the point of having it as a children's book specifically?
Well, I've written a lot in Australia. Like, I think most Black writers have written so much around Australia Day in different forms. And so for me it was just... I think because of my children, just bringing it back to my kids and being able to talk about it with my kids. And I think that's the most important writing you can do. But I think there's space there as well for like children writing for older kids as well. I didn't even think, I think probably because my kids are only 1 and 4. So I'm just thinking about that. But yeah, I think for me, it was the most important writing I could have done because I think it does a lot more, you know, when you're writing for kids, it goes a lot more, it impacts a lot more than when you're just writing opinion pieces. And yeah, I feel like every year we're expected to rehash a lot of the same things that blackfellas are always saying, you know, it's just like they're not listening to us. So there can be a bit of like, you know, you feel a bit run down sometimes when you have to say the same thing all the time. So I think writing to different audiences, but audiences where you actually have an impact, is like, you know, kids, you can have the biggest impact on kids, I think.
I'm wondering if you were taught about any of this history in school.
No, nothing at all. I can't remember ever learning anything in primary school. And I remember my dad saying he didn't learn anything and he was always really confused when they talked about it, about like, you know, settlement and everything like that.
Yeah, I just remember that, you know, it was basically the subject that I could tell even the teacher was not that interested in. Like it just was, that's the boring history, the Australian history. Let's do World War II, you know. And and even like I do remember there was some teaching about the violence and, you know, there was talk of really graphic details of at least one violent encounter. But I can't remember if it was talked about as a massacre.
But I think that comes from, because, you know, you think how could people not acknowledge the hurt and the pain that has come from this massacre? But I think it's still they're not seeing Aboriginal mothers people, because otherwise how could you not care about Aboriginal men, women and babies being killed in that way? Like we have a lot of information about the Miles Creek massacre. We have a lot on Coniston massacre. You know, like there are actually, how do you not care unless you don't think of blackfellas as people? Like I think it still comes down to that, because otherwise you just can't move on and you can't be as apathetic at all.
So one of your kids is just going into school, it sounds like. How do you feel about that? Are you concerned at all about how this history of colonization is going to be taught?
I was definitely concerned as well, because thinking about how, you know, what I was taught in school, but also I have a cousin who's involved in education, Melinda Mann, and I remember her saying that, you know, after she put her kids in school, it was like she had to re-educate them because of what they were learning was different from obviously the truth of what they were hearing at home.
Have you had any experiences already where you felt like there was a different version of history being given to your son?
Yeah, and I think it all comes around this Australia Day issue, but even Anzac Day, you know, like I think it was last year I got a picture sent to me of Leland draped in an Australian flag. To me, that's a racist flag. It's, you know, it signifies everything that they tried to breed out of him. You know what I mean? Like that flag is about killing Aboriginal mob.
Why was he draped in a flag? What was
I don't
the
know. It was Australia
there?
Day leading up to Australia Day, I think. Yeah, that to me just really annoyed me, I think.
There's something you touched on just before that you know, I suppose this isn't a day to celebrate. There's a lot of discussion of, well, when then and how? I mean, is there any day where we can have a national day, in your opinion?
I don't think so. I don't think we can't even have Australia Day and undergo a truth-telling process or move forward. Like the two are totally against each other. We have to totally abolish the day, stop this pretense that we can ever be co-opted into any celebration, and actually undergo a really intense truth-telling protest at the grassroots level, and then from then move on to potentially we can celebrate together. But how can we celebrate together when, you know, there has been no justice for Aboriginal people over the one of the, you know, the very core issue, which is this is all about is the theft of land. There's never been any land justice, true land justice at all. And so you can't even pretend, you know, you can't change the date. It's still going to be symbolic of, you know, Australian, it's going to be symbolic of the invasion and the erasure of Aboriginal peoples. It always will, unless we actually go through a really fundamental process of change. It's not going to change at all, I don't think.
Okay, Amy, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Laura.
Amy's book, Daybreak, is published by Hardy Grant Children's Publishing. It's available in bookstores now. You can also read Amy's opinion piece about January 26 at theguardian.com, and we've put a link on the full story page as well. That's it for today. This episode was produced by Miles Herbert and Joe Koning. Our executive producers are Gabrielle Jackson and Miles Martignoni. If you liked this episode, don't forget to leave a rating or a review. Okay, catch you tomorrow.